A lot of dangerous animals have speed on their side, and there's not a moment to lose when it comes to catching prey or defending your patch. And what better way to do so than producing some fast-acting venom or poison to survive in the animal kingdom? With us is Stephen Elaine from the University of Kent, who is also a member of the British Herpetological Society. Stephen, what is a herpetologist?
Okay, so a herpetologist is somebody who studies reptiles and amphibians. The word is Greek in origin. The root word is herpetos, and essentially it means to creep.
Okay, so we're talking, what, reptiles and amphibians?
Reptiles and amphibians, you know, snakes, frogs, lizards, all that sort of stuff.
Okay. Before we get really into this subject, can you just explain the difference between a poison and a venom?
Certainly. This is a question I get asked a lot. And the main difference is that a poison needs to be ingested, or it can also be taken through the skin, where a venom has a delivery mechanism such as a stinger, a barb, or fangs.
Talking of poisons and venoms then, what are some of the most fast-acting, this is a show about extreme speed, fast-acting, most poisonous, venomous animals?
Okay, so some of the fastest are animals such as the box jellyfish, which its venom can act within 2 to 5 minutes of being stung, although not always. That leads to death by cardiovascular collapse. And then you also have dart frogs with a very strong toxin that also acts within, you know, a handful of minutes as well.
So what's going on then in the bodies of the prey in those both of those cases, but also in the bodies of the one inflicting the trouble?
So in the body of the prey or the person or the animal that has been, you know, envenomated or poisoned, the main change is that their nervous system is shutting down. The neurons aren't firing, or they're overfiring, which then causes issues with the cardiovascular system, which shuts down your lungs and your heart, and then you unfortunately die. In the predators or the envenomators, they are producing toxins in specialized cells or glands, and in the case of the dart frogs, they sequester their poisons through their diet. And so when you take them out of that natural setting and, you know, keep them as pets, then they're no longer as toxic, because they no longer have to specialise beetles or ants where they get these toxins from.
And we mentioned the box jellyfish. I imagine that probably lives in the sea, right? Where are we talking?
It does, yes. It lives in the seas around Australia. And although they are extremely dangerous, there are very few deaths from box jellyfish stings. A, because people avoid them, and B, because, you know, there are relatively quick emergency response action plans in place to deal with them if they do occur.
One animal, I guess, maybe stereotyped or people think of when they think of poison is snakes. So how fast are snakes then at envenomating
people?
Okay,
so when it comes to snake venom, it can act very fast. Black mamba venom, it takes about half an hour to act, and then after that you're pretty much done for unless you seek immediate medical attention. Again, it's a neurotoxin, so it acts on the nervous system, although other snakes have venoms that can break down blood or create clots, which have different effects but are more long-ranging and also take longer to undertake than, you know, just shutting down your nerves.
We're talking about extreme speed in this show, and I guess there's the speed at which the venom or the poison gets to work, but there's also the speed at which you're actually causing that damage, right? So how quickly do snakes spring into action?
A lot of research has been done on this, and it doesn't matter whether you're a venomous snake or a non-venomous snake, all snakes seem to strike around the same speed. And to just put that into perspective, rattlesnakes have been clocked at going 2.9 meters per second, which is 6.5 miles per hour. It doesn't sound like much, it's just faster than a brisk walk. But in a enclosed space, that's pretty fast. It means that in a strike zone, a snake can strike you in about 75 milliseconds. A human blinks in 200 milliseconds, so they can strike you almost 3 times in the time it takes you to blink.
So why do snakes need so much venom, and B, to be able to get it into someone so fast? What's the point?
You have to think that a lot of species feed on fast-moving prey, particularly quite small prey, and the amount of venom and the strike speed has all evolved to be able to immobilise that prey immediately or extremely quickly, so that it doesn't wander off and die, you know, hundreds of metres away from where that snake is, so it can just get its item of food and disappear off into the undergrowth away from the risk of predation or being exposed to the elements.
This is pretty extreme stuff we're talking about. What are the chances of survival then? For instance, for human beings, what do you do if you're in this very unfortunate situation?
If you do suffer a snake bite and you are envenomated by a venomous snake, it is imperative that you seek medical attention immediately. And it's also important that you identify which species of snake that envenomated you. There are antivenoms which can counteract the venom of a number of species. And these are found particularly in areas such as India, where you have a number of species that are highly venomous. But in other countries, there's only one or two species where you come across a snake that may cause damage, and so you have a more specific antivenom to that one species.
How do you actually make an antivenom? Because you need to understand the venom, the way that the chemistry and biology is working. Does that mean you have to extract some out of the incredibly dangerous animal?
It does, yes. You have to take a lot of safety precautions when it comes to handling venomous animals, obviously. And depending on whether you're working with a snake or a spider, there are different procedures to extract that venom. And in terms of creating the antivenom, traditionally sheep or horses are used. Because they're quite large, you can inject quite a lot of venom in them and doesn't really have any negative effects apart from shortening their lifespan, unfortunately. And then you extract the antibodies that's produced from their blood and then it goes into the antivenom.
And finally, how far away are we from a catch-all antivenom then? Is it possible to make something that you could give to someone who had got any particular venom or indeed poison?
At the moment, that isn't possible, no. Although the World Health Organization is pumping money into that problem as we speak. They've just announced that global snake bite is a neglected tropical disease and they're trying to fund a universal antivenom for, you know, anybody around the world by any snake species to be able to treat that bite using HIV antibody technology. At the moment, it's still in its infancy, but it does show some promise for the future.
So we should be watching this space then?
We should definitely be watching this space, yes.
Thank you very much. That's Stephen Allain from the University of Kent and the British Herpetological Society.